Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Michael Pregent, a man of considerable insight into the challenges that we're facing at the moment in the Middle East, not least by dint of his extensive service there, some 20 years in the United States Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, and four tours as a Defense Intelligence Agency officer, providing support to U.S. interests in Iraq most especially. Michael Pregent these days is an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute. He has a number of other associations, and he's been very actively involved in the public policy debate, notably through appearances on a variety of media outlets, including the BBC World News. We're delighted to have him back. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Frank.
I caught you in the wee hours of the morning, Michael, talking to the Beeb about what was playing out as you saw it, having a lot of experience, particularly with the Sunni-Shiite dynamic in Iraq. As we hear a lot now about the fall of Mosul, or the more or less fall of Mosul, the more or less defeat of the Islamic State in Mosul, talk about where you see things now on the ground there and where they're likely to head.
Well, I just want to put this in context. In 2004 and 2005, the U.S. military basically destroyed Fallujah. We did it twice, and at no time did we declare victory over al-Qaeda. We learned early on in 2004 and 2005 that this is not how you earn Sunni trust. This is not how you get Sunnis to reject al-Qaeda ideology, and this is not how you get Sunnis to help us defeat a terrorist organization. 2007, we got it right. We built up a 90,000-man strong force vetted by the U.S., a Sunni presence in all the areas that ISIS ended up controlling in 2014. The reason ISIS was able to control those areas in 2014 is because Prime Minister Maliki, from the Shia political Dawah and Iran's favorite candidate at the time, dismantled this security apparatus, basically leaving a security void, and ISIS filled it in 2014.
And a lot of hostility from the Sunnis to boot.
Yeah, it was hard to get them to trust us. When ISIS came back in, we started sending some of our guys over to reconnect with these Sunni tribal leaders. And in one case, one of the Sunni tribal leaders threw a bunch of military coins at the feet of this U.S. Officer that I used to work with, and said, these are all broken promises by the U.S. You said you'd protect us. You said you wouldn't let Maliki target us and dismantle us. And now ISIS is here, and now we're being targeted by ISIS for something we did against al-Qaeda in 2007 and 2008. So if you look at the pictures of Ramadi, Fallujah, Tikrit, and Mosul, the destruction in these cities wasn't caused by an invading army. This is what it's their own government did to these Sunni towns. In Tikrit, it was for ISIS fighters. In Ramadi, it was for 1,600 ISIS fighters. In Tikrit, it was for 2,000 ISIS fighters. And in Mosul, a city of 2.2 million people, the city, the west side, has been pretty much rubbled and destroyed for 4,000 ISIS fighters intermingled in a population of 1.2 million. To me, it's not, you don't destroy buildings, replace an ISIS flag with an Iraqi flag, and call it victory over a terrorist army. This is just phase one of many phases before ISIS is defeated, unfortunately.
And Michael, describe the role that the United States military has been reduced to playing in all of this.
Well, so much was done in 2014 to assuage Iranian concerns that they have a big footprint in Iraq following ISIS. Prime Minister Maliki reached out to the United States. Iran was the first ones to call or to heed the call from Maliki. They tout themselves as the first ones to go into Iraq to help Baghdad defeat ISIS. But what this really was this was a Qasem Soleimani.
He of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Yes, from the IRGC. And his strategy was to ensure that no future Sunni threat would come from Iraq's Sunni triangle, from Iraq's majority Sunni town. So this was more about negating future Sunni threats than it was about defeating ISIS. They were reluctant to go into Ramadi initially, reluctant to go into Fallujah. They let it stand in ISIS control for almost 3 years, reluctant to go into Mosul. We pushed the Iraqi government to go into these places and liberate after they, and liberate in quotations, after they were ignored for 2.5 years.
And we effectively became, as I understand it, Michael Prigent, the Air Force for these Iranian-backed Shiite militia as they set about destroying these. It kind of reminds you of the old line about the Vietnam War, you know, destroying villages in order to save them. This seems to have played out pretty badly in those Sunni towns.
Effective counterinsurgency was shelled during the Obama administration. With 5,000 advisors on the ground, with U.S. Air Force in the air, supporting a predominantly Shia force heavily infiltrated by Qasem Soleimani Revolutionary Guard Corps proxies. Basically, uniform militia in the Iraqi army and the federal police, and then this Hashid al-Shaabi PMU group of 100,000 that basically answers to two Qasem Soleimani lieutenants, one being Hadi al-Amri from Badr Corps, the other being Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis, a designated terrorist from a designated terrorist group, Kitab Hezbollah. This is the commander and deputy commander of a 100,000-man Shia force that has basically wreaked havoc on these Sunni towns. A Sunni military age male equals ISIS in their eyes. They cannot differentiate between an ISIS fighter and a Sunni who lived under ISIS control. There were 4,000 ISIS fighters in Mosul and 300,000 military age males, and to this militia, there is no difference.
Michael Prigent, when you look at all of this, there's obviously an understandable hostility on the part of the Sunnis, not just to these Shiite forces that have laid waste to their cities, but towards us. Where do we go from here, as you see it?
Well, Baghdad saw what Damascus got away with. I mean, Assad was able to punish his Sunni civilian population for 5 years without any intervention, almost 5 years. 450,000 dead in Syria, and Baghdad basically saw what they could get away with. Sunnis now are more distrustful of Baghdad than they've ever been. But there's an added dynamic. They're more distrustful of the United States based on this role that we played, basically providing U.S. technology and lethal capability to a predominantly Shia force as they entered these Sunni towns. Again, if you look at the pictures of Mosul, this was not done by an invading army. This was done by their own government.
So we're the Sunnis, both in the region most immediately affected, of course, in Iraq and Syria, but also now the broader Sunni nation states are going to go, is presumably to reconstitute something, if not ISIS or Al-Qaeda, something like them to fight on, will they not, especially as they are worrying increasingly about this so-called Shiite crescent being carved out of previously Sunni territories?
Right. I mean, the one thing I'd say is Al-Qaeda never went away. It was never defeated. It was decimated, but it's still around. ISIS will be in the same boat as Al-Qaeda, excuse me. The thing about the Shia crescent, one of the most important things is when I travel the region and talk to members of the security and intel apparatus from Jordan all the way to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, it's not ISIS that they're worried about. It's the Iranian expansion. It's the Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Shia crescent. It's the Tehran, Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut landline that they're trying to put together, the land route to facilitate more militias. Again, remember, Qasem Soleimani can move Iraqi militias to Syria, and he has primacy over Baghdad when it comes to deploying Iraqi militias, and that's something we should all be looking at.
Michael Prigent, the pregnant question that we have to leave for the moment is, what will the United States do to have this come out rather better? I hope that we can get you back on to discuss that with us in the very near future. In the meantime, thank you for the great work that you're doing, among other places, at the Hudson Institute and National Defense University, and do come back to us again soon.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.